Oh, we are live.
Yes. Yes. Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment. Welcome to Business Platform with me, David Shombe. And yeah.
And me, Hileni Inane. And so today we are joined by someone that might be joining us a bit more frequently from today onwards. So, Zafia, welcome to the Business and Economic Segment. Tell us, who are you?
Yes. Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Zafia Basson, and I'm actually doing an internship at Eagle FM. And thank you for having me, team.
Yes, we're always happy to have colleagues. And yeah, let us look at the concept for today. You know, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, Business and Economic Segment is a platform that talk about business development. We look at the domestic economy. We also look at the international economy. We look at the issues of bread and butter. And we also analyze, financial policies. We look at entrepreneurship. We look at, SME development. We also touch areas of farmers and yeah, just how to get opportunities and also, inform our listeners on current opportunities and how they can tap into that for them to upgrade, our country's economic development and also human development.
Yes, and apart from that, we also come here on a daily basis and, we share with you conversations and we drive narratives that affect our everyday lives. On top of that, we also offer a variety of services to our listeners, to business owners out there, to the business community. So you can always reach out to us and, do your advertising with us, do your live streaming, your live broadcasting with us. We could always come to wherever you are in the country and we record your event. And the masses can listen to it as it happens. So that's just some of the products that we offer. We have our e-villager paper that is released every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And for you to subscribe to our e-paper, you should send your name to the number of 081-200-4144, and we will be able to add you to our billing list. Alternatively, you can download our Eagle FM app and you will be able to listen to our live broadcast as well as our podcasts. And we have quite a lot of things going on the app, from adverts to anything that you might need to equip yourself with. Everything knowledgeable you can find there, and also vacancies in case you are busy looking for a job, in case you are one of those that are job hunting. You can find your policies on there. But without taking up more time, since some weird dudes already stole most of the time. Sam's not even weird. Stingy Men Association stole most of the time.
Secretary of Stingy Men Association.
Yes, we can just dive right into the conversation. We can give an in-depth description of what we are going to be talking today before we can cross over to some of the people we spoke about, experts on the matter, or people that are on the ground to just give us a deeper insight on what is happening around us. So I think most of you, especially those that are at school, must have been very delighted to hear when the Minister of Finance gave a directive to all MOAs that they should make provision for a budget that is for internship and apprenticeship purposes.
Yeah.
And with that, guys, the hustle of internship.
Yeah.
I think that is a conversation that you cannot go without having. That is a conversation that a lot of fresh graduates are struggling with. That's a conversation that need to be had, because there are laws, there are no laws, but still as humans, there are things we need to understand as a Namibia and as people trying to build a better Namibia.
Yeah, it's actually a good thing that you have mentioned, because the Minister of Finance, through the Executive Director, gave a directive. You know, a directive is the same as instruction. You cannot negotiate on that. To say part of your budget, make it, you know, allocated to, you know, traineeship, internship, which is, you know, internship and also graduate internship. And there's nothing that really you cannot negotiate. And it's actually a very good thing for those, you know, individuals who want to get first-hand, you know, experience on the job, and which is actually very difficult and has been a very difficult thing, particularly in Namibia. So I think, without wasting, you know, much of time, as time was already wasted, I think we can jump into the conversation. And yeah, but I think before we jump into the conversation, or before we jump into or give a platform to our guest, I think we are going to a commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
But just before we get in, Zafia.
Zafia, what is your take
on the directive that was given by, you know, through the Minister of Finance?
Well, as an intern, I mean, I'm an intern myself, so I'm actually very happy, because, I mean, it also took some time for me to get this internship. So I'm very happy.
Just one second, eh? Just 1 second.
Statistics show that more than 12,000 road accidents were recorded in Namibia last year. Therefore, I believe zero is the only acceptable number of accidents on our roads this Easter. It is not impossible. Be responsible, do the right thing, and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Moktunda konkedi zoksimba no buke do marsumo komaoko, uza konkedi zompe zoktura marsumo, musmbangu dias ep pampepo. Guanas mbangu suspe sa imba ep, zuvainyami mokaram tetin sume kusmbangu isi, guana karuhampepo kumarsumo pa internet meke, lyoge, ruganesa, cellphone ndin kenyi. Kara ono pukuru kasi sumbangu suspe aso waswa pukura sa imba ep. Aso kureti sapo martimbo konosumo dokuli siga siga dongereka pamwetu moktura kumwe srongo no kwane sambudu zongwa dias gospel martimbo gamwe novura kura kena muspagwisi kuna karanye the elsin eangano the osherero kumayimbiliro the catholic simaneka karunga the afrikaans sing Friday here and many more zeni munahara kutulisa marsumo geni Musumbangu Saimba Epo Pampepo Tuguaninye go 08123.
Yes, Zafaya. What is your take on this directive, and maybe if you can just continue what you're saying?
Yes, as I've mentioned, I'm an intern myself, and it took a while to secure this internship.
Yeah.
I also just want to mention a very vital point is that an internship is, it's also that we come from experience. It's not that all interns come from no experience.
Indeed.
And it's not to say that you would have to baby us, you understand?
Yeah, yeah.
And they must also understand, as companies that would take on interns, this is also a great platform for these. You could also scout talent. You know, I think most companies scout the talent through internship.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yes, while we are there, maybe just before we go to our, our guest for today, it's always so very important to make sure that, you know, hand-on experience, because there's a difference between, you know, training, intern while studying, and also graduate internship. And just to make sure that we get the context of that, to say, whoever is going to be getting that intent, what are you getting from that? And also to get it very clearly from a private sector and also government institution. And I think before we go there, it's my hope to say this thing to be turned into a law, like affirmative action for that matter.
I also hope so.
Yes, without wasting any time, let's go to our guest for today, who is a labor expert and got in the conversation with our colleague Helen Inane.
So, good afternoon to you, Mr. Yuach, and welcome to the business and economic segment with me, Helen, that is here on Eagle FM.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Yuach, I wanted to have a conversation with you in regards to what the Ministry of Finance currently gave directives on, which is to the ministries, government agencies, and government offices, in prioritizing budget allocation for student internship and apprenticeships, and we have seen that in the past, some of those that were getting internship money or anything at all as compensation, it's either too little or close to nothing. And obviously there are labor laws around internship programs and what interns should be getting. Can you take us through that?
Yes. The labor law, unfortunately, does not cover the minimum wages for interns.
Yes.
In fact, we have only some minimum wages, and these are for normal workers. They are set per hour, mm-hmm. and of course, since the beginning of the year, we have a national minimum wage set per hour. With internships, the issue is that it's not seen as being employed. It's seen as giving young people an opportunity to get a sense of the labor market, to gain some practical experience in the hope that they would gain with those experience some better chances to find a job later on. But in terms of the Namibian Labor Act, there is no provision for minimum payment for internships. So it's basically left open to the employer to decide what they will pay to the interns.
Okay. So as it stands and with the directive that the government or the ministry has made, it would be, I would take it that in the coming years, this would also be implied to the private sector. So is it legally feasible to make internships or apprenticeships a requirement across all these particular sectors and that compensation should be mandatory?
No, there is no legal requirement, even for taking interns. There is no provision for that. And in fact, after independence, the whole internship came to a halt, and it was only revived a few years ago with the aim of creating that opportunity for young people to gain some practical experiences at the workplace, and maybe to do so well that the companies would take them in. So currently, there is no law that says companies must take X number of interns and they must be paid at least this amount. There is nothing like that. It's left to the companies if they want to take an intern and also then what they would pay the intern. In government's case, there was also till now no clear guideline on what has to happen, no budget allocation. So this is now the first time that a clear basis is created for interns in the public institutions.
Okay, so back then everyone was just freestyling on the basis of whether they want to or not, so it's not mandatory. Because it's actually something I never really quite understood, especially when it's explained by different people as different employers just had a different understanding about it.
Yes. That's what it is. And of course, the danger can be that some employers take interns instead of employing them people full time.
Yes.
And then paying them very little so that it becomes a highly exploitative practice. That is the danger. But the intention in principle, also behind government's pronouncement is that they want to create at least some experience for young people in the labor market through the internship program. And that in itself is not bad, but because there is no clear provision about payment, it can lead to exploitative practices and some companies pay next to nothing.
Yes. So I want to know now going forward with this particular implementation or with this directive for ministries to avail funds for internships, could such a law conflict with existing labor policies and business regulations?
No, it wouldn't conflict with business regulations. It wouldn't conflict with laws, except the national minimum wage. Because the national minimum wage would amount to roughly 3,500 per month.
Yeah.
And if people on internships get paid less than that, then it would be below the national minimum wage. But that could be legally justified by saying internships are not regarded as full-time employees, and therefore they only get a kind of an allowance and not a proper salary. So this is the tension that we see now in the discussion. Should interns also be covered by the national minimum wage, or will they be regarded as full-time employees like other workers, and therefore would not be entitled to the national minimum wage? And employers might use then that gap to pay, of course, small allowances only.
Just to enable, obviously, students to come. Okay, so Mr. Yor, there is this thing where everything is centralized in Namibia, that is from universities, government agencies in question, and almost everything that is ministry related or government related. These are offices you don't find everywhere in the country. They are centralized to certain towns, certain spaces in Namibia. So how do you think this would then come to affect some of the students that would require internships, but then the internship is far from home, and with this compensation plan coming up, how do you think that would benefit the students in question?
Yeah, no, that might be a real challenge for some students to get to the points where the internships are offered. But also, we must not forget that we are likely to have many, many more students than internships.
Yes.
And in that case, what can happen is that many students wouldn't even get an internship to start with.
Mm-hmm.
So the internship program is likely to cover only a small part of our student population, and others will struggle. And some of them might even find it very challenging to just get to the workplace if the allowance they get as interns is not even covering the distance to the place where they're supposed to work.
Definitely. You touched a bit about the exploitative part of companies in Namibia, and how we see, you know, if you go into places, you would find that there are literally companies sitting with vacant positions because, you know, interns keep coming in every 6 months and the work keeps getting done, but, you know, you spend close to nothing. So how can Namibia structure a law that protects interns from exploitation while actually ensuring that they gain the valuable experience, which is the main aim of the practice of internship?
Precisely. And the only way to do it is, as we now start with internships program, to monitor very closely how it's being implemented. And if it leads to a scenario, what you described just now, that a company decides, well, instead of employing people on full-time with proper salaries, we just fill the position with interns all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it might become a way of undermining workers' rights and actually reducing employment.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to be monitored. How are companies implementing the internship program? Is it really additional interns on top of the existing staff members with the idea of creating some, giving them some experiences?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a process where employed people are possibly even losing their jobs and then being replaced by interns on 6 months contract. Yeah. If that happens, then of course the whole policy needs to be reviewed, and the Labour Ministry needs to step in and prevent such exploitative practices. And that can only be done if the internships are very closely monitored.
Okay. So lastly, how may this new directive of this policy affect youth unemployment statistics in the long term? Because obviously that's the one of the highest problems we have right now as a country, youth unemployment. So how do you think this directive will combat that particular youth unemployment?
Yes, and that's the key point, and I'm glad you're raising it.
Yeah.
Because internships in itself does not solve the unemployment problem. That can only be solved through changes in the economy and economic structure, so that tens of thousands of new jobs are created. Internships will hopefully make it for the individuals concerned a little bit easier to find work afterwards. But the big crisis of youth unemployment cannot be solved through internships. They can only be solved by creating tens of thousands of additional jobs. And that doesn't happen through internships. That needs changes in the economic structure. And in the past, we have unfortunately miserably failed in that regard. Even government's own employment policy was not implemented, or very poorly implemented, and therefore failed to create the job. So that's an important aspect. If we think that internships help to solve the unemployment crisis, we are badly mistaken. It will not.
Awesome. I just remembered one last thing, Mr. York. How realistic is it to implement this directive? Of course, it came after the budget has been tabled already. And, you know, we see what happens to our budget every now and then. So how realistic is it to actually put this particular directive into action and into it being productive?
If you have ministers that are on top of their ministries, if you have executive directors that can do their work effectively, then it's absolutely realistic. Because the instruction is that they must budgetary provisions for internships. So each ministry and each government agency has to consider that and then implement it. And you have directors and executive directors and other staff members that are in the ministries to make sure that the programs are implemented, and that will have to include now also the internships. So in terms of the process, it's absolutely realistic. However, it might fail like other programs did in the past. Within the ministry, the implementation capacity is poor, and if there's no real interest and no real drive to implement the directive, then there will be a problem. But that is...
Yes, hello?
Yes, how are you, sir?
I'm good, how are you, sir?
I'm fine. Tell me, I've been for long without listening to Ijo FM. Oh. I mean, Shakati, what happened to you to use the radio?
Oh, which part of Shakati you are at?
I'm in Aleshira.
Oh, you know what you can do, Ne? Do you have data on your phone?
Yeah.
There is a better way to listen to us without using a radio, because sometimes frequency are down and up. Just download the Eagle FM app.
Oh, yeah. Only working on the app.
Yeah.
On the radio.
Yeah, no, no. Just download the Eagle FM app. It's one of the fastest app that you can use. It does not use a lot of data and easy to use to everybody. That's why we are trying to make sure that everyone who is calling us to transfer to Eagle FM app, and where the issue of frequency is going to be dealt with.
Oh, the other one is you are busy fixing it.
Yeah, okay. but for now, let us continue listening from the app. It's very easy.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, cool.
No. I have the app, but only that I used to focus always on the car whenever I'm driving.
Oh.
Yeah, but anyway, it's fine. It's, yeah, just thank you for that information.
All right, sir.
Bye.
Right.
The task of ministers and executive directors to make sure that the ministries perform their functions.
Awesome. Master Yuach, is there anything else you would like to add for us on the conversation at hand before we, you know, say goodbye to you?
I think we must appreciate the intention by government and by the president.
Yes.
To roll out the internship for young people as one step to assist them finding work. Mm-hmm. But we must also be very clear that internships alone will not make a dent in the real unemployment rate, because they keep young people only busy for 6 months. And what young people obviously need is decent jobs to have a decent life. And that doesn't end after 6 months of internships. And I think this bigger aim in Namibia to really tackle and eradicate youth unemployment and the poverty that goes with it, we mustn't lose sight of that.
Thank you so much, Mr. Yuach, for agreeing to speak to us today.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you.
Yes, that was Mr. Yuach. He's a labor expert, and he was unpacking on the issue of the directive from the Minister of Finance to direct all the OMAS to make sure that they put part portion of their budget to direct them to internship and also helping the students or to get experience. And what Mr. Yuach have said is that it's always very important for students to get practical experience and also to make sure that they are integrated into the working force. And one of the points that he mentioned, which is very important, is to say it's a must for internship to get what the finance ministry have said about them being compensated, but the area of being compensated is a bonus. And he also mentioned that there must also be plans after 6 months, like the directive said, you to say 6 months of internship. There must also be a secured future for those students, because after all, I want to be an intern, but I also want to have a future in that, particularly when you are dealing with graduate intern, because at the end of the day, it should not just be a short, a short time. You must be connected to what you have learned, and you must also make sure that at least at the end of the day, you are getting somewhere. And dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. Today, I'm joined by my colleague, Zafia, and just to engage us on this matter. Zafia, maybe just based on what was discussed, what is your thinking when Mr. Yuach talk about, the future of after 6 months training? Are you also in the same shoes to say there must be something secured, especially when they talk about government agencies after training, allocate also money to expand? What are you thinking about that?
Yes, most definitely, because after 6 months, the student just goes back to being unemployed. So it's actually good that there's like a continuity, you understand?
Yeah.
And this would also be good. It also will help, although it might be in a short term for unemployment, but it also helps with our education skills,
Indeed.
Furthering our skill in the country.
Yeah. No, it's always, it's something that need to be considered. And through my experience also, I can tell to say, as I was intern, even here or any other institution where I went, it's a learning platform.
Yes.
It's a learning platform, and you find those experts, and when they start doing things, you think, am I going to learn this thing?
Yes.
And it's always a very interesting experience to be an intern. And maybe just for those who are listening to say, learning should never stop. Learning should never stop, because I was talking to one guy today. Then I asked him a question to say, what if I'm 50 years old? Let me say I'm an engineer who's 50 years old. Then I decided to say, no, I want something which can sustain me after 60 years. Then let me say I'm going to study LLB. After studying law, I still have to go back, because even if I'm an engineer somewhere, I'm still a learner. I'm still learning in this field. Then he said, no, internship should not just be, considered for people who are fresh graduate, but anyone who want to transit, anyone who want to learn. And it's quite very interesting, particularly when it's coming to learning new skills.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Yes, let's go to a commercial break. Then we can go to our other guest, then we can continue with business and economic segment.
Mukungulele kwa tuko maikuto amina apidi kwa mavchaziva. Muvere kusema app atoloka sinchav kamso, zakale liferide, mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zalivuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha a imba app, mwikutwe kulimusie mba santo ye mwietuna. Mwikole sfera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba encha ni encha falizwe ikopa ya mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilingi, kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyali njira mlimu. Zengwi zefu mani hamasfera sesfa app ya imba ize tatama. Elsin, ehangano, oshiherero, omaemuriro, Catholic, smane kakarunga, Africans, ni zengwi zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kireke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, fa 081-2358-063, kapa mulumere imele kwa digital@omalaiti.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kuifumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Tulisa mardimbo goge, pampepo, zegura sumbangu, dias app. Eziza singo na malisi ntakana ugupanare taninaga kumape. Moktunda konkedi zokusimba no mbuke do marasumo kumaoko uza konkedi zompe zoktura marasumo musmbangu yas ep pampepo. Guanasmbangu sospe sa imba ep zuvainyami mokara mteti nsume kusmbangu isi guana karuhampepo kumarasumo pa internet meke.
So, how are you, Natangwe? And welcome to the business and economic segment with me, Hileni. It's lovely to have you here on Eagle FM.
Thank you, Hileni. And thank you to your listeners also.
Awesome. So, Natangwe, recently the Ministry of Finance and Social Grants had given a directive to all officers of the government, ministries and agencies in which it requested for them to prioritize a budget allocation for student internships and apprenticeships. What's your take on that specific thing, especially now that you know a lot of interns are doing internship for free, especially in the private sector, but this is now for the government sector? So do you believe this directive is a genuine step towards addressing youth unemployment, or is it more of symbolic to temporarily get the youth out of the way until they've gotten the internship, and then after that they're on their own?
In my view, I think there are two components to it. One, of course, it does give, you know, students the relevant corporate experience that they would require.
Yes.
That would, of course, grow them in terms of experience and whatnot.
Yes.
That's the first aspect, which is a positive, good, positive news. But also that government, at least, is the one that is taking initiative, mm-hmm. Which is also a good thing that they should be the one to lead in terms of this youth unemployment and all these things. But there is another component, of course, which is the budget aspect. I mean,
yes.
We have heard of so many, you know, complications. I mean, you find the police stations and whatnot can't even print. government ministries and government agencies have been at times struggling even just to print pity things, small things like that.
Yes.
So I don't know how they manage to source, where would they source fund to allocate to that internship. And they've specifically that they've even stipulated the number of interns that each agency is required to have and all those things. So it is very, very, it has a mixed feeling.
Mm-hmm.
One, you would wish if it is genuine and the government really mean what it's saying, it's a positive move.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is, of course, just to say, you know, to sugarcoat and politicize and whatnot, then it wouldn't just mean anything. So my worry is more on the budget, where the budget would come from, because for sometimes our government has been struggling with simple things like stationery in offices and whatnot. So where would the money come from to pay this intent?
I mean, not only intents, because I think that directive speaks on two components, both intents and the terms. I think the two things that I've read it about a week or so ago. I can't remember exactly what it says. But if it is meant to be, and if there is such funds, then that would be a good news to in addressing, you know, unemployment youth, and not only unemployment among the youth, but also to address the issue of the corporate experience that the that the students require, because
yes,
students most of the time really struggle to get, you know, to get opportunities to, you know, get that corporate experience than just this theoretical things that they've
studied at school.
So we're hoping that it's genuine, we're hoping that it's legit, and we hope that it will really, you know, assist in terms of absorbing and providing necessary experience to our students.
Awesome. So, Natangwe, from a social justice perspective, how important do you believe it is for internships, apprenticeships to be accessible, paid, and properly structured? Because this is like you said, this is where students begin their practice. Eventually, you are going to go into the work industry and they'll ask you for experience and stuff like that. But also for someone to be able to carry out internship, the motivation needs to be there. Sometimes things such as just taxi money to get to your place of internship are things that students...
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business in
for internships and apprenticeships to be this accessible to the learners, or actually to the students?
No. It is very, very important, because for sure we do know that majority of people that are doing internships, they are doing it out of their comfort zones.
Yes.
They are not from those specific towns, those specific areas. Some are from deep in rural areas, but they unfortunately cannot access. There are no offices, government offices, in those remote areas to be able to do their internships in their respective villages. So they are required at times, most of the times, to go and do these internships far away from their, you know, from their villages and whatnot. So they will obviously be required to pay for rent because they would be required to have a place to stay. That's the first thing. Those enablers, things that enable you to be able to go to do your internship, of course.
Yes.
Especially like you said, and food, because these are people from poor background. No, I'm saying this. You must understand the complexity of a social sphere.
Yes.
That most of the students that are doing this internship, they are doing it from or away from their homesteads,
yes,
or from where they come from their villages, from wherever they come from.
Yes.
So it is very, very important that at least government or whoever, those agencies that are providing internships to students, is able to at least just cover for the basic of the basics, so that these students are able to exercise and to practice their internships comfortably. I don't want to say comfortably, but at least to be able just to cover for the enablers,
mm-hmm,
things that enable you to be able to go and do your internship. First, you must have accommodation where to stay. Second, you must have transport to and from wherever you're going to do it. And three, you must have food to sustain yourself and those cosmetics. Those are just basic needs.
Yes.
So it is a good move that at least these students are catered for in terms of those things, because we do know for sure that a lot of these people are mostly, you know, black kids from poor backgrounds and all those things. So it is very, very important thing that these kids are given something to just sustain themselves while they are
going through their internships.
They are going through their internship programs. Yeah.
That is very important indeed. So what risks do you see in such opportunities? If such opportunities are only available in urban areas or concentrated within certain sectors? Because like you mentioned, back in the villages, government, ministries, agencies or offices don't exist. So people literally need to move away from home to access some of these facilities, some of these companies. So what risks do you then foresee if this continues to say internship needs to be done at a government space, but then again, the facilities are not fairly or let me say widely dispersed over the country? They are in a concentrated area.
I think look, I don't foresee a new risk. That's a new risk that existed already, mm-hmm. from the beginning, or that's a risk that is inherently there already. The, yes. system by design is such that all the services are centralized. They, mm-hmm. are not decentralized. So from the universities to wherever, all those services are already just concentrated in certain urban areas. So after graduating, they still just continue doing their internship in all those urban areas. So I don't think there is any new risk that is going to come from there, because ordinarily in villages, you don't have universities.
Yes.
You don't have also these agencies where the students can then conduct their...
Some things kind of have to be together, right? Imagine, pop, but no flace. Never. Or a goal without a celebration. And friends, but no Tassenberg?
Now that's just not right.
Tassenberg, best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Are you an SME trying to get your product or service out?
Education, nurses that do those, what do you call them? Is it, what is the program called?
Okay, for I know for education is school-based practice, which is SBS.
Yes.
I'm not SBS, so yeah. sure for the health sector, but it's also, yes. they call it practicals something.
Yes. So at least those are the only ones that at one point or the other, they would find themselves doing their practicals or wherever in their villages.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, any other field of study, they are obviously just going to be doing it in urban areas. Of course, it does lead to, you know, of course, I don't want to say crime, but mm-hmm. because the urban areas get now over-concentrated and whatnot, but at least if these students are now given the opportunities to be able to be kept busy and gain the relevant experience, I think maybe it might even just reduce whatever risk that came from the studying and all those. So I think I don't really see a new risk that would then come as a result of such initiatives. If anything, it's probably just that the risks might be kept to a certain extent.
It's just continuous.
Mm.
Okay. So let's say this directive become a law, like an affirmative action or something that is stipulated and made mandatory. What protections or safeguards should then be put in place for young people to actually benefit fully from this practice, especially the young people that are really in need of these particular opportunities?
I really do think we have come up with so many good laws,
mm-hmm.
But I don't think we enjoy the fruit of such good laws.
Yes.
You know, we have them on paper, but in practice, sometimes it's not effective as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I also don't know now, how do you hold then, who do you hold accountable? Because you are the government, the lawmaker. If then your agencies are the ones that are failing to persons absorb these students, who will then hold them accountable in the first place? Because at least if government is able to, you know, just try to just comply with its own legislations or with its own directives,
mm-hmm.
That is just what is required, of course. You don't need to be held accountable to a certain extent. You just need to comply with the laws that you yourself as government have passed. That's what needs to be done. But I don't think laws, good laws and whatnot, would really be the good thing. Maybe the first thing is to begin with those things like directives.
Yes.
Let's just see if those directives are going to be complied to. If it's not complied to, then, you know, it's like a certain minister who said, was from next year or whatever, all the ministers or whatever will be required to go to public hospitals and whatnot. It is easy to say this, but legally, what if then the ministers, those ministers refuse to go there, with what legislation are going to hold them accountable?
Yeah.
Because they try to go and access private medical medication and whatnot. So it is very difficult to just say laws or not laws or whatever. All I'm saying is just it requires only human agency.
Mm-hmm.
It requires patriotism. It requires someone who really understands and feels the need to be a Namibian, who is proud to be a Namibian, to say, we need to care about a Namibian child, a black child. We need to do an audit. It's more on from the human side of things than just legislation.
Yes, definitely. So Natangwe, I'm not sure if you are aware, but obviously this particular directive is targeted to everything government related and necessarily not the private sector. So I would just like to know, what's your take on the private companies who employ or let's say taking interns, but not compensate them at all, be it with transport fare, anything at all. Like literally someone can go up to 3 to 6 months doing an internship for the sake of you'll gain internship. You'll actually gain, why did the word run away? You will gain,
experience.
Yes, experience. Sorry. You'll gain experience and that is just the ticket they run with to say, we are giving you experience so we do not have to compensate you further than that. What's your take on that particular aspect, given that these laws are being passed?
No, look, the whole thing is that the whole industry, not only private, even government, you find a lot of government agencies that are exploiting, you know, taking advantage of the fact that you can literally just go and get interns to come and perform the job for you and not pay them and cover on and save up on labor.
Yes.
So it is just a practice that has been used by the industry. Generally, not private, not public, anyone, or most of them,
mm-hmm.
they just use this tendency. There's a tendency of this, even government agency or some sort of government-related agencies
mm-hmm.
that have even over 2,000 interns. You know how much you are covering in terms of your wage bill if you have 2,000 interns.
Mm-hmm.
So it's generally just a trend in the industry where the industry is taking advantage. I'm sorry, there's a blank person.
Okay.
A trend in the industry that is just to exploit. That is actually exploitation.
Mm-hmm.
People take advantage. You don't need to hire anyone. You must just keep changing interns. After 6 months, we bring in another intern. After 6 months, we bring in another intern. After 6 months, we bring in another intern, and you pay them literally nothing.
Yes.
So it is, again, like I'm saying, it's a matter of just understanding the need. Those people that exploit these people, they are human beings in the first place. Human beings that have needs, that have wants, and that also, you know, understand how it feels to not have bread at home. At one point, they didn't have, of course.
Yeah.
They ought to just have that human aspect to say, look, you can't just take someone's child and come make them work for 6 months without giving them anything. Yes, they are going to gain experience, but sometimes even just send them around coffee, go and make coffee, they are going to do that. They are not gaining the relevant experience.
Yes.
They understand. But I also understand that the interns don't need to be paid a lot of money. That's obvious. They don't need to be paid a lot of money because in terms of delivery, they are not going to be delivering the same way as someone with experience would. In fact, some companies, they also complain that these interns, they take up much of time when you have to help them and always assist, ask a lot of questions and whatnot. But we just need to find a balance in terms of compensating these people and reward these people. Some interns are actually even more competent than the full-time employees.
Mm-hmm.
So the industry just need to understand. Like I've said, we need to understand and to be first and foremost, be Namibians, be proud Namibians, understand that the future of Namibia is in the hands of those young people that you are exploiting. If you exploit those students, what example are you giving them? Tomorrow when they are in those positions of power, they are going to be exploitative. You are giving a wrong precedent. It's like kids seeing their parents fighting in their house.
Yes.
What is the likelihood that, yes, there's one child who would probably come out and say that, no, I don't want to see or to have to make someone go through what I've seen my mother going through or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one that will just borrow from the father that my father used to beat my mother. So the next
woman.
My must be beaten. So it's a wrong trend that the industry is setting, of course. But I hope that at least at one point people will come to a realization, even if it's by law, at least the law, if it's there, then at least let's ensure that this law is complied with.
Definitely. Because that's why we have this particular type of conversations, just to drive the narrative and try to find solutions and also just try to raise awareness so that as Namibians, we can be better. So lastly, Natangwe, I would like to know, of course, we've touched on this a lot, and there are definitely students out there. I've seen a few that decided to step away from the aspect of internship because of lack of resources. So I want to know, how is the youth unemployment, especially among graduates, affecting their mental health, their dignity, and their motivation as young Namibians of today?
Look, in my view, I think a student who is a graduate is at a higher risk than a student who is not an unemployed youth who did not graduate because of expectations.
Yes.
You went to school because you are hoping and expecting that one day you'll get a job, and you had already drawn up some, you know, imaginary future of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But also the pressure from the family that we assisted you, now we are looking up to you, the family, the expectations are on mm-hmm. you and all those things.
Yes.
So it is really a serious issue when you have someone who has graduated and they are unemployed. It's not a joke. It is very, very, it's a very difficult thing to be in. You find people asking you, "Why did you not get a job and whatnot?" And all those things. Do you apply? And all those funny questions that just frustrate
that unemployed also trigger you.
Young people. Yes, that just triggers you. You're already blaming yourself or consent, and then there's so many questions from both society, family, and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a very difficult position to be in as an unemployed graduate. But you just say, look, the rule is very simple. We don't commit suicide. We don't catch in the street, in that jungle. We hustle. We struggle. We try to, you know, just be hopeful. You know, tomorrow will always come, and you are hoping that something will pop up.
Yes, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to us. We come to the end of our business and economic segment today with me, David Shombe, Hileni, and Zafia. Yeah, and we were talking about, you know, the importance of graduate or integrating graduate to Namibian workforce, the importance of internship, and also what it means to a student, what it means to Namibian economy, and also what it means to the company, the government institution, government agency, or the ministry that, this person is getting first-hand experience. From me, David Shombe, thank you very much for listening to us, and see you tomorrow.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Mukungu lele kwa tuko maikuto wa mina apiri kwa mavchaziva. Muvele kisema app atolo kasi nchavu kamso, zakale liferide, mise kunani zencha. Kuzo wakwa kushimba lifera zari vuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha a imba app, mwikutwe kulimusie mbasa antoye nguyetuna. Mwikole sifera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone. Imba encha ni encha farizwe ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilingi kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyali nzira mlimu. Zengwi zefu mani hamasfera sesfa app ya imba kize tatama. Elsin, ehangano, oshiherero, omaemuriro, Catholic, smane kakarunga, Afrikaans,
nizengwe zengata. Mololi zeze kacheno, haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kereke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, fa 081-2358-063, kapa mlumere imele kwa digital@omalighty.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kacheno, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Tulisama rdimbo buke, pampepo, zegura sumbangu, dias app. Ezi za singo hona malisinta kana ukupanare taninaga kumape. Moktunda konkedi zokusimba no mbuke do marasumo kuma oko. Uza konkedi zompe zoktura marasumo musmbangu yas epu pampepo. Guanas mbangu sospe sa imba epu zuva inyami mokara mteti nsume kusmbangu isi. Guana karuhampepo kumarasumo pa internet meke lioge ruganesa cellphone ndin kenyi. Kara ono pukuru kasi sumbangu suspe aso waswa pukura sa imba ep aso kuret sapo martimbo konon sumo dokuri siga siga dongereka pamwetu moktura kumwe srongo no kwane sambudi zongwa dias gospel martimbo gamwe novura kura kena musumbangu si kuna karanye the elsin e angano the osherero kumayimbiriro the catholic simaneka karunga the africans sing froda here and many more. Zeni munahara kutulisa marsumo geni musumbangu sa imba epu. Mampepo, tukwanilinye ko 081-2358-063. Ndi ko email digital@omalighty.com.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.